This is the Schnitt Show.
So what do you say here in hour two? We kick things off with stuff that's about sports but isn't necessarily about sports, so sports adjacent. But we got sports stories, so we're going to do some sports. Casey O'Day sitting in for Todd. I'm in with you all week. And before we get into the John Gruden stuff, Texas A&M has been fined $100,000 after their fans stormed the field after beating Alabama. Okay. Good. Not the fine. The storming of the field. Here. Now, normally, I would sit here and point out, and I will agree with most people, that there is a lot of unnecessary storming of the field. Okay? You don't always need to storm the field. In fact, let me tell you who's the worst at it. I'm just going to pick on one state. Iowa. You Iowa fans, man, you've never met a field you wouldn't storm. And I say this as somebody who previously broadcast in Minneapolis for years before I moved down to North Carolina. And I happen to be at the Metrodome watching the Iowa Hawkeyes decimate the Minnesota Gophers, which was not that unusual at the time. And after Iowa won, the Iowa fans jumped onto the field. They stole the flipping goalpost and actually tried to leave the Metrodome with the end zone goalpost. There was never a doubt that Iowa was going to win that game. And it was, I don't remember what the score was. It was embarrassing. In fact, the most interesting thing that happened at it was a teacher from Iowa decided she and she was with her husband at this thing, but then she went up to, I don't know, the concession area and the bathroom area and found some random dude, took him into a bathroom, and they proceeded to get busy while everyone in the bathroom cheered. She eventually got arrested. I know she lost her job, too. That was the whole thing. And then we did a parody song called Metrodome Delight, Afternoon Delight, and, you know, memories. But yeah, it was unnecessary, and they rushed it. I only point that out because Iowa rushed the field again last week, and they were you were predicted to beat Penn State. What the heck, man? That being said, Texas A&M, who was unranked, beat Alabama. There is no bigger Goliath over the last few years, decade in college football, and it's for an unranked team. Now, admittedly, Texas A&M beginning of the season was expected to stay ranked the whole time and be right up there. You know, they were bowl series bound, and they had a rough go of it. So they were a better team, or predicted to be a better team. They didn't play that well, but obviously during the game with Alabama, they played really well. So if they want to go storm the field, $100,000, they got that in a couch somewhere. Sorry, I just, and it's because it's got a little COVID vibe to it. We don't want a bunch of people storming. Well, they're all sitting next to each other. They're all sitting next to each other. How's that any worse? Fines levied against schools for violation of access to competition area policy are deposited into the SEC Postgraduate Scholarship Fund. The policy states that access to competition areas should be limited to participating student-athletes, coaches, officials, support personnel, and properly credentialed individuals. This for the safety of participants and spectators, yada, yada. They beat Alabama. Unranked, they beat Alabama. Alabama's not in the top three anymore because they got beat by an unranked team. I'm not rubbing it in. Alabama's a hell of a team. It's very frustrating. I'm not an SEC guy, but it's very frustrating when they're four-string running back couple years ago was better than any of the other starting running backs in the SEC, save Georgia. $100,000. This is more of that no fun league stuff. Now, from college to the NFL and the Las Vegas Raiders coach, John Gruden, who I know many of you are familiar with, especially those of you in the Tampa Bay area. I was talking to Sue off the air. So I didn't realize that that's the vibe. So the vibe is that Tony Dungy built the Bucs, and then Gruden came in and won with his team. Is that really, or is that some point of debate among sports fans? I mean, now I know you guys are all, you know, oh, Tom Brady's the best. Oh, Gronk. But, you know, ultimately, I didn't realize that that was a point of contention. But, you know, regardless. That game was against? It was against the Raiders, too, wasn't it, that Super Bowl? I'm trying to remember. Anyway, So a series of emails that were released. And by the way, these emails were a product of a deep dive investigation that's going on into the Washington Redskins. So it was Bucks beating Oakland. That's what I thought. All right, but the emails and all of the insanity that's ensued with what's in those emails, and we'll touch on that, is a product of the investigation into the front office of the Washington Redskins, or the Washington football team, whatever. But there's enough in there that it actually, Gruden resigned. He resigned yesterday from his head coaching position. Quote, "I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders," Gruden said in a statement that the Raiders put out. "I love the Raiders. Do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to the players, coaches, staff, and fans. I never meant to hurt anyone." You know, what's really got a sting is I think he just finished his $4.5 million custom mansion that he had built there. But, you know, he's got, I'm sure he's sitting on a little bit in the bank account. Now, what's all in there? Well, back on Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported an email that Gruden sent to Bruce Allen, then president of the Washington Redskins. "Devorah Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires," wrote Gruden. As you can imagine, that email caused an uproar, but there was more. There were various emails. Let's see. Gruden sent emails while he was working as an analyst for Monday Night Football, so he was not coach at the time, to Allen and others regarding women referees in the NFL, homosexual players being drafted. And I believe that's the Michael Sam thing. It's a reference to the Michael Sam years. The topic of players protesting the national anthem. Also, and this, by the way, Gruden should actually get a commendation for this email where he referred to Gruden as a clueless anti-football P-word. The problem is he also referred to him as the gay slur, starts with an F, and incorporates the British word for cigarettes. Oh, and there was one about Biden, too. Wait, hold on. Where is this? Sorry, I'm working off two different stories here. Yeah, all right. And so this would have been, at the time, Vice President Biden. Yeah, here we go. Gruden also criticized President Obama during his reelection campaign in 2012, as well as then-Vice President Joe Biden, who Gruden referred to as a nervous, clueless P-word, which cat. It's another word for a cat, kitty cat. Using similar words to describe Goodell, DeMaurice Smith, who was the director of the NFL Players Association. All told, this is crazy, all told, the number of emails that were seized as part of this investigation total 650,000. Obviously, those are not all Gruden to Barry emails, but those are the number. So who the hell knows what else is in there? But if you're somebody in the NFL and you're in that upper kind of circle where owners and coaches and the upper echelon of media all collide, how nervous are you right now? Also, how much protectionism will go on? You know, Gruden had a bit of a rep where they, you know, they read Gruden as a dude who was a callous dude. I don't mean that. That's not the right word. He was a gruff dude, had a lot of very strong opinions, and his politics didn't, you know, they weren't where they should be. What 10FL team could survive the scrutiny, by the way, if you got a hold of 650,000 other emails and texts? So I'm licking my chops, man. I don't know what all is going to be in there. Gruden, obviously, is the first domino to fall, and we'll see how deep this goes. But I would say this. I think you're going to start noticing a theme of who gets outed and who doesn't. I think the people that are going to get outed are the ones whose politics they feel don't align. That's a prediction, right? That's just me making a prediction. I could be 100% wrong, but we will, we will wait and see. Now, to be fair, in what is in there, with what Gruden said and the words that he used, that is unsurvivable right now. I don't care. Belichick wouldn't survive that. Belichick at his peak wouldn't survive that. Although many of the media don't like him anyway, so. But, you know, figure out whoever is the Tom Brady wouldn't survive that. You remember they were getting on Tom Brady? I make jokes about Tom Brady because the Raleigh area has a lot of transplants. I know down in Florida, you're like, oh yeah, tell me about it. But in Raleigh, we have a lot of transplants. A lot of people move down there as well. And I've got about four or five hardcore Boston people that listen. So we like to make Tom Brady jokes just based on that. But at the end of the day, Tom Brady is the golden boy of the NFL. So much that people are constantly coming up with conspiracy theories about how if you hit him, they go to your house and execute your family. Okay? Maybe not quite there, but, you know, on that train. And Tom Brady wouldn't survive that. Remember what happened when he had a MAGA hat in his locker and how everybody lost their crap over that? So, yeah. Is there going to be a partisan bent to this? Probably. Does it bode well for others who were exchanging emails in there? I'd love to be a fly on the wall where those conversations are being had right now. But we will wait and see. But it's more selective leaking, and maybe they just need to lay bare all of those emails. Maybe that's just the best way to do this. All right, 800-801-8999. That is the phone number. You want to be on the Schnitz Show, please feel free. I'm going to give you that elk story just because I find it interesting. I can't remember. My brain is, I'm doing two shows a day right now. Did I talk about the Kamala Harris NASA video yesterday on this show? I didn't. Oh, we got to get into that. If you are a writer for SNL or a writer for one of the late night shows, and you're not just, you don't even have to write the jokes on that story. You just have to have the host read the story. There's that much insanity in there. And we will touch on that coming up here on Schnitt.
This is the Schnitt Show.
Now you can listen to
Schnitt.
All right, here we go. Cutting through hour two here on the Schnitt Show. Phone number 800-801-8999. This is the comedy portion of the show. So I don't know whether you've seen it or not. Let's be honest about what it is. It's a partnership on the YouTube Originals. I'm trying to think of a couple other examples. YouTube's trying a few other things. Originals is one, and then they have this other thing where they have like coming soon stuff, which is actually frustrating because if you're scrolling on YouTube and you see a video from somebody, you know, who you would be inclined to watch and you're not paying attention, you click it and it's like, no, that'll be on here tomorrow. And it's like, well, why are you show it to me tomorrow? So anyway, YouTube original special featuring Vice President Kamala Harris encouraging children to become interested in space. Cool. I'm down with this. Absolutely. I think that's a great role for the vice president. You know, Mike Pence was essentially, hey, you're the NASA guy. Do the NASA stuff. Perfect. No problem. Tell you watch it. You get probably have a pretty good vibe of Kamala Harris, both when she's a little looser, but also when she's more serious, especially as you saw her in the debate where she was running Biden over busing issues through the mud there. But the Kamala Harris that's on that video is unrecognizable. She has been coached. And she has image issues. That's not a secret. So she's got image issues. This is 100% somebody, some handler, some person, some image consultant that they're paying an ungodly amount to somewhere, sees this as an opportunity. So what do? They get her in there and they coach her. And you have to, you know, one of the things people don't realize is when you're doing radio, but also it's even worse when you get into TV. When you're doing radio, you don't talk like a normal person. If you were just to sit here and, you know, kind of kick back and be unenthusiastic and talk about, you know, how you may normally converse with, that doesn't sound as good. So you know, there's this attack the mic thing. You have to be a little more exuberant. You have to enunciate. I tend to ramble. It's my thing. Take it or leave it. But ultimately, You have to do so in a very consistent manner so that the delivery sounds good. On TV, it's even worse than that. It's because you also, your face, like, I don't smile. I'm not a smiler. So whenever I do like a station event where I'm around people, they're like, smile. And I'm like, look, you're just, I got no beef with you. I'm not mad. I just have resting me face. So just deal with it. But that doesn't work. And Harris kind of has that. So when they coach you and they tell you to do it, it's like the couple times a year where I got to do a video thing for our web people. I'm in hell. And it looks unnatural because it's not currently the way that I do things. And I have friends that do TV news, and they're very good at it. And, you know, but she's not very good at it. And so it looks scary. And apparently it's so bad that they realized they couldn't even use children off the street. See, that's the other half of this. This is a vanity project in the sense that they're using this because they think it will help build her approval rating. And they realized that once they coached her up so she at least attempts to look like she's enthusiastic about this, that still wasn't good enough. So they had to make other changes. In fact, let me do this. I'm looking at the clock here real quick. I rambled. That's what I do. I told you. There's two things you need to know about this Harris story. Other little things. Well, one's one of the changes they had to make. And the other thing is just really an unfortunate selection of production companies. But it is a hoot, man. Absolute hoot. So we will get into that. I will give you those two things directly. So hang on. Right after the bottom of the hour, it is the Schnitz Show. And it rolls on here in just a few minutes. We'll be back.
This is the Schnitz Show.
Show. All right, here we go. The continuation of hour two of Schnitt here for your Tuesday. My name is Casey O'Day. And normally I'm doing mornings in North Carolina. So glad to be with you. I'm going to be hanging out all week. And I was just getting into this because I think it is hilarious. And frankly, it's just going to be an indictment of all things SNL if they can't make a skit out of this because it's too easy. So you have the very, very awkward Kamala Harris little teaser video for her special, which is entitled Get Curious with Vice President Harris. Follow Harris and five children ages 12 to 14 as they complete a scavenger hunt with NASA astronaut Shane Kimbrough delivering clues from orbit on the International Space Station. Okay, and again, I got no beef with this, and good. Absolutely fine. That's the appropriate person to have doing this. Problem is, it just looks awkward, and it becomes very clear that it looks so awkward because they're obviously using this as an image thing too. Remember, this is the woman they sent to Vietnam so she could unveil this failed message, quote, America is back, which is a really good thing to announce on a podium in Vietnam. This is the woman who they send down to Central America so she can get booed by starving Hondurans. You get my point. But where this thing gets off the rails is they realize that she has all of the charisma and appeal of the clown from It. And that if you were to put normal children in there that weren't being remunerated, they probably would run. So how do they get around that? Well, we come to find out that the kids are child actors. Yes, that's right. One of the children, his name is Trevor Bernardino, tells KSBW Action News 8. That he completed a screening process in which he submitted a monologue of himself discussing something he's passionate about, as well as three questions he would like to ask a world leader. Bernardino then spoke with the director of the production to test his interviewing skills, and Bernardino says, right after that, a week later, my agent called me and said, hey, Trevor, you booked. The other children featured in the special are also actors, according to a report from the Washington Examiner, including one of the actors who interviewed former First Lady Michelle Obama here in March of this year. So you got to get child actors in there so that when she talks, they sound interested and not, you know, cringing. And my favorite part, and it's such a small thing, but it's really not, because these are the little things that they used to just decimate Trump over. Nobody in the entirety of the vice president's entourage or at YouTube or anybody involved in this project, minus the children, I'll give them a pass, realized that it not only was a bad look to then employ a Canadian production company. Right, this is the vice president of the United States. Don't go subcontract into Canada. These are just little things. But you just don't do that. It's already bad enough that we're obviously now paying for child actors. And I have a feeling you and I are footing the bill on that. The name of the production company, though, is called Sinking Ship Entertainment. And they're based out of Toronto. That's just imaged. How does nobody catch that? Because there's got to be an email, and in that email, there's going to be, I'm assuming, their website, which is going to have their name or somebody's signature within the email. You're telling me that nobody on the staff went, you know, I don't know if we should have a production company. I know it sounds little and petty, but we live in a society that's little and petty. And a lot of this, if you felt strong enough that you needed to get, obviously, acting coaches or whoever got her to act like that, holy crap. If you felt strongly enough from an image turnaround standpoint that you needed to do this, you even needed to go forward once you saw how bad she was at it and the fact that you had to hire child actors, you got to be thinking that maybe hiring Sinking Ship Entertainment, a Toronto-based production company to do it, is going to get you at the very least razzed just a bit. But, you know, unfortunately, even though this is set up, this is a Daily Show bit. Back in the day when we were, you know, even Jon Stewart, who's a big leftist, wouldn't have passed on this. SNL would have passed on this. It's too good, man. You're telling me, who's the chick who does Kamala Harris? It's Maya Rudolph, right? Whoever it is very good. It's funny. And again, I happen to think a lot of the Trump stuff, I'll tell you one of my favorite things that SNL did during the Trump era, because sometimes it just got nasty at the end, was the Sean Spicer stuff. I interviewed Sean Spicer here on my morning show last month, and we talked a little about it, which I'm sure he just loves talking about it. But who was that, Megan McCarthy, who did that? It was hilarious with the mobile podium and all that. Like, there's a bunch of funny stuff out there, but we can't divorce ourselves for five seconds from where ideologically we are. Hell, the Daily Show, one of the Daily Show producers, where is this story? Sorry, I wasn't going to do it, but now that we've somehow flipped back into it, what did this idiot tweet? Because remember, these are the people that are greenlighting what they do. Here it is. They referred to Steve Scalise. He referred to Steve Scalise as a domestic terrorist. Steve Scalise is literally a domestic terrorism survivor. Right? We agree that that's even if you don't like Steve Scalise, we agree that some Bernie bro nut job, for political reasons, showed up at that baseball field to shoot Republican congressmen and shot Steve Scalise. I don't think that factoid's in doubt, man. That's a thing that happened. We had a congressman in North Carolina. His name is Mark Walker. He got kind of redistricted out, but he's running for Senate now. And at the time, he was the pitcher there, and he was telling me all about that. Just nuts. Just absolute craziness. So, yeah. The producer of The Daily Show, who is working alongside Trevor Noah, the host now, figure out what they're going to do. Do you think that's somebody from a partisan standpoint who's given a fair shake to what's funny versus what is the right political messaging? I love The Daily Show. I loved it when Craig Kilborn was the original host. Maybe some of you don't remember that. Craig Kilborn was so good at it. When Craig Kilborn said he was leaving, which was not the best decision for him, but when he said he was leaving, I'm like, that's done. That's over. Bye-bye. Show's over. It's like when they replaced Charlie Sheen on 2 and a Half Men. But then they brought in Jon Stewart. And even though Jon Stewart was much more political and was definitely to the left, he was funny. And they would do all of these things. You know, they would go out and they do one thing that was obviously a hatchet job on some Republican. They did a guy down in Charlotte, a local state senator at the time. They just blistered this guy, which I could never understand why anyone would sit down for an interview with The Daily Show. But they would do it. And then in the same episode, but in a later episode, they had a bit where they were interviewing, this is right after, no, it was right, was, it was when Trump started running. Maybe it was right after the election, because Jon Stewart quit essentially right around that time, remember? And they had one of the people out there interviewing what were leftist preppers. So these are all, you know, hipster, moonbat, city kid preppers. And, you know, they had a bunch of quinoa. They didn't have guns because they don't like guns, and but they're prepping because they were literally looking at the Republican primary at the time and Donald Trump leading it. And they're like, the end times are nigh. There be dragons. And it was hilarious. And they didn't have a problem skewering that because it was absurd. And I can't remember exactly what the topic was with the state senator in Charlotte up here in North Carolina, but it was absurd. And there was humor to be found there. And there's humor to be found in Kamala Harris doing something with a company called Sinking Ship Entertainment with child actors and the face of Heath Ledger's Joker, right? Sorry, I just feel very passionate about this. All right, so I got to tell you about this story, just because I had seen pictures of this elk. Because elk are delicious, and as somebody who grew up in elk country and would annually go find a elk who looks like they would fit good in the freezer, I love talking about it, but a giant bull elk was, over the last 2 years, has been running around with a tire around its neck, and it kind of turned into a thing. So let me give you an update on that story and this Maxine Waters insanity. Maxine Waters says that somebody hacked her Twitter account and deleted all her stuff. How do we know this? Because she tweeted that. Yes, do the math in your head, figure out what that may mean, and we'll touch on both of those and more coming up here on Schnitt. Hang on.
This is Schnitt. On the Schnitt list every day at schnittshow.com.
Oh, here we go. Just saw this. Yet another word we're not allowed to use. The latest word is, well, actually, it's part of a phrase that we were told is super bigoted last time. Aliens. So, you know, already they're like, you can't say illegal alien. I mean, I don't care, and I do, but, you know, that was a thing that people were butthurt over. So why are we not allowed to use aliens? I'm literally digesting this in the 30 seconds right before we come back. Oh, okay. We're not allowed to use it because Demi Lovato said so. You'll have to forgive me. I know Demi Lovato is a singer of some sort. I'm sure I've heard one of her songs, but I don't know. Anyway, why is she? No, okay. Why is Rolling Stone giving this an ounce of effort? Do you see what else is Rolling Stone is doing? In fact, I'm going to have to get into this story. Rolling Stone did an absolute hatchet piece on Eric Clapton. They've decided that Eric Clapton needs canceled. And it is, in fact, let's do this. I'm going to finish this Lovato stupidity, but I do want to talk about that Eric Clapton story because it is 100%. You can explain. You can track the reasoning behind why they're doing what they're doing, and it is absolutely shameless. So anyway, back to this. Demi Lovato, who apparently is the arbiter on this stuff, says referring to extraterrestrials as aliens is derogatory, and we should eliminate use of the word for potentially otherworldly visitors. And what is this? So she literally has a song called Aliens. Oh, my brain hurts. Why do they give that? I know I'm part of the problem here right now, but I didn't start it. I'm finishing it. So the proper term is ETs, extraterrestrial. Okay. Most people, whatever. I call them ETs, said the 29-year-old singer, who is currently filming some sort of investigative USO. Oh, and she said that she was hanging out with aliens in the Joshua Tree is out in California. It's a pretty cool place out in the desert there, but okay. I want whatever this chick is smoking. Oh, excuse me. Improper pronoun usage. Demi Lovato is they there. All right, we're going to close that story. Bye-bye. Don't care about that anymore. So anyway, back to this. So tiger elk. So there's this elk that's running around. I had the name Pine Junction. So Pine Junction, it would be southwest of Denver. It's down when you're going towards Colorado Springs. But there's a big bull elk that's been running around with a tire around its neck, right? For two years, people taking pictures. Hey, look, it's tire elk. I mean, he doesn't seem to be acting abnormal. You know, an elk that size weighs probably 650, 700 pounds for a mature bull elk. I mean, so the weight of the tire, he's just going around doing what elk do. Well, apparently officials with the Colorado Parks and Wildlife were eventually able to get a trank in him. Unfortunately, though, they were unable to slice through the steel in the bead of the tire, and as a result, they ended up sawing his antlers. Oh, that's tough, man. Right now is the worst time. If you're a bull elk, right now, when it's all about the ladies, to not have your antlers is potentially deadly for you. But they said they had no other choice. Also, what if that was his bling? Right? Have you considered this? Part of the rutting process for these elk and for many creatures is having to stand out from the competition, right? So, you know, elk are going to do it by doing what elk, you know, two bulls come up. There's some cows over there, and then dude's like, you talking to me? And then the other one's like, you talking to me? And then, you know, cradack with the horns, and then eventually one of them gets the ladies. What if that was, now he can't fight with that, but what if he, in his attempt to stand out, was like, I'm the Flavor Flav of elk? And look at this. Because, you know, they're not going to have platinum chains and stuff. That's ridiculous. But the tire works. And now these evil people at the Colorado Parks and Wildlife have robbed this poor elk. By the way, I'm just giving them grief. But anyway, it's such a stupid story. Where is this? Dawson Swenson, who is one of the officers, estimate the elk shed about 35 pounds with the removal of the tire, the antlers, and the debris inside the tire. Oh, hell yeah. If you've never held it, I had an elk shed that I found on our property that had calcified a little, and it weighed 18 pounds, and it's one side. It was ridiculous, and it was old enough, again, it had calcified, but you know, at the end of the day, with an animal that big with the tire and versus the weight of those horns he's carrying, he probably, you know, was just doing the rutting thing. So initially, officers spotted the elk with the tire around its neck in July of 2019 while conducting a population survey of Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep and mountain goats in Mount Evans Wilderness. And then they go on to talk about animals getting entangled and stuff. Yeah, what if that was his hot necklace? And you guys are like, nope, that's gone. And now you've essentially, at least this year, you have doomed this guy to a life of celibacy. So not only did he lose his stuff, he's going to get friend-zoned by the cows. And that's very unfortunate. I feel bad for him. All right, like I said, there is another Rolling Stone story. Ramble on about an elk with a tire around its neck. There is another story, this having to do with Eric Clapton and the takedown of Eric Clapton on the part of Rolling Stone. They are not pleased with him. Rolling Stone sets out to punish racist Eric Clapton. Why and how they're doing it, I will fill you in on all of that to kick off hour number three here on The Schnitt Show. Lots of other stuff to get to. Our phone number, 800-801-8999. Hang loose, back in just a few minutes.
The Schnitt Show.